Begin the current daf, Masechta Sanhedrin, daf Ayin Dal. Begin on the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in the different approaches to answer the question from the Gemara's previous daf. Where the Gemara had asked a question, the Braisa had said regarding the halacha of our Mishnah on the previous daf, that there are certain individuals that we could kill them to stop them from committing a sin. And one of the categories is if they're going to commit a sin of Gilui Arayos. And in that category, as the Braisa had said, when it says in the Torah Chet, which in the parasha of Naamah Rasa refers to chiva krisis. If a man is chasing after a woman that he's forbidden upon the death of Karis to have relations with her, then someone could actually neutralize that person by killing him to stop him from committing that sin. That the Gemara had asked the steerer from a Mishnah Besachet Ksubis that said that if someone is Baal HaChaisai, which is a sister, is someone that there's a chiv Karis if he has relations with her, says that she gets Knas. But that we said that if someone has a chiv misa, which, as we explained in previous daffim, is if a person could be killed, like a boba bachteres, he's a bar katala, he could be executed. Someone could kill him now in self defense. And then, if at that time he also goes and does a damage, a monetary damage, he's not liable. So, if you're saying that a chiv akaris could be killed, then why, if he goes and he violates his sister, does he have to give her a knas, a monetary payment? So, that the Gemara said, the first approach the Gemara said was because it happens at different times. It's not at the same time. You can't say that ein meisa mishalem, because one act is from the immediate when upon contact versus the other one regarding the knas is only by the gemara bia. So the gemara said that only works according to the one that says haraz and the shika, but according to one that says haraz v'achnas atara, they're both happening at the same time. So the gemara gave a second approach. Rather, it's talking about where she already was pagam once before because they had relations with her shaloi kedarka, and then they're having relations with her kedarka. So in that regard, there's no chiv misa, but at the same time, there's still going to be a chiv of knas, because ultimately he's taking her away her besulim, which is what the knas is for. The third approach the Gemara gave was that it's actually talking about where she tells the people, don't kill the rapist, the one who's trying to violate her, her brother, don't kill him, which is going like a behuda, who he says in that type of situation, you're actually not allowed to kill the perpetrator, and therefore there's no chiv misa, and therefore there's going to be a chiv of knas. Now the Gemara moves on to a fourth approach. Rav Papa, he says that actually this that the Mishnah says in Ksubis, that if a person violates his sister, that she gets a knas, even though the Gemara's question was that generally when one commits a chiv karis, he could be killed because of that, and therefore then, since he could be killed, he's not meis umeshalim, he should not have to pay the monetary payment of the knas. So explains Rav Papa, we're not talking about a situation of einus. We're talking about that Mishnah in Ksubis, where he seduced his sister, where even though it wasn't einus, but by mefata, when he seduces her, when he talks her into it, she also gets a knas. And moreover, in this situation, she cannot be saved by having her brother killed because she's not particular. She's okay with it. She's actually agreeable. That's what the case of mefata is. And the direct kolder is according to everybody, meaning in contrast to Rava's answer, who said it's only like Rabbi Huda, this was going like everybody because it's talking about a case of mefuta. And that's why she gets a knas. And of course, he can't be killed because it's consensual. Fifth approach, Abayam, he says that no, truthfully, it's talking about a case of Anusa, where the woman was forcibly violated, meaning in this case, the sister. But it's talking about B'yachal HaHatzal Be'echad Me'evar, where she could have been saved, this sister, by maiming one of the limbs of the perpetrator of the brother. Where in that type of situation, he's not allowed to be killed from now on. And since there's no quote, Chiv Misa, he cannot be killed. So then there is a Chiv moment of the Knas of having been Anus, his sister. Because Rabbi Yenis and Mitchell, it's going like Rabbi Yenis and Mitchell. The time, like within the Bryce, Rabbi Yenis and Mitchell, he says, if someone was pursuing after his friend to kill him, someone was running after someone to kill him. Now, the one who's being pursued, or the one who witnesses this crime, he could save the victim by maiming the perpetrator one of his limbs, and he does not save him that way, rather, he kills the perpetrator. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Mishal, Neregalov. So the one who killed the perpetrator, the one who's pursuing, actually gets killed himself. My time in Rabbi Yitzchak Mishal, what's the reason Rabbi Yitzchak Mishal? Says the Gemara, because the Pasuk says in Shemais as follows. Chiyinatsu anoshim v'goymer, when men were fighting, etc., they talk about a whole situation where instead of killing his friend, he ends up actually injuring a pregnant woman that was walking nearby. Now, Amar Balasi, he explained this Pasuk in the Torah, b'matzu shebemisa. That it's talking about that the fight was regards a fight to the death, where this guy was intending to kill his friend, and instead, like the Pasuk says, Vahikasish ended up by mistake killing the woman. That's what Akasa Badab, but that's what the Pasuk's talking about. Now, the Chsiv, and the Pasuk says after that, it says, Vim Asanya, now if something tragic happens, someone gets killed, so the Torah says, "V'nesata nefesh tachas nefesh." So then, you have to give a soul in place of a soul, which means to say that the perpetrator gets killed. Now, if his intention was not to kill, rather it was totally a mistake, so why would he get killed? Obviously, it's talking about where it was intended. Now, generally, by a murderer, the halacha is, when he's coming to murder, it's nitin latzila benafshay. Meaning you could go ahead, anyone who's there could kill the murderer first, as we said previously. Now this guy who was pursuing, who was doing it, he was doing it intentionally, as we said, that if he ends up killing, he gets killed himself. And in spite of that, Amrachman, the Torah says that if v'loiya asin, that if there was nothing tragic, meaning there's no death penalty for the perpetrator, that anish, so what's going to be? He didn't kill the woman, but she miscarried the fetuses. So the Torah says, okay, he's not going to get death penalty, but he's going to have to pay for the monetary payment of the value of the fetuses who were not going to be born anymore. So says the Gemara, the Amrit B'Shleimah, if you say, and this is to prove Rabbi Yonatan ben Shaul's opinion, which again is according to Abaye, the interpretation of how you could have the case of one sister who he was ma'anis, that there's not going to be a death penalty because the brother could have been stopped by injuring one of his limbs, and therefore you're not allowed to kill him, so there's no misa, and therefore he does have to be mishalem, the knas of being ma'anis' sister, because as follows. If you're going to say, yachal ha'atzel be'echem evav, that there is such a halacha, that if you could save somebody, let's say a woman that's being violated by injuring one of the limbs of the perpetrator, that lo nitin lahatzila benafshay, then you're not allowed to go ahead and save the victim by killing the perpetrator. You have to just neutralize them by injuring them. So that we could understand the halacha of this pasuk in Shemayis, that the perpetrator could end up having to pay the monetary payment of the miscarried fetuses. Why? Because it would be told, for example, where the one who sees could lahatzel be'echem evav, could save the victim from by injuring one of the limbs of the perpetrator. Where, like in that, like we're proving Rabbi Yonatan ben Shaul, that's where we would say that you're not allowed to kill the perpetrator. So therefore, there's no quote misa. He never had a death penalty over him, and therefore he's going to be punished for the monetary payment of the miscarried fetuses. Eli, but if you say yochel lahatzel be'echem evav, that even if you could save the victim by just injuring one of the limbs of the assailant, that's still naminit latzim anafshe, that you would still be able to kill the perpetrator. So hey, mishkachas lo di understand, how would you find a situation that the perpetrator should have to pay for the monetary payment of the fetuses? Why should he get that monetary obligation? But he was a right if he was trying to kill. And we said that anyone who's trying to kill, you could go ahead and kill that perpetrator. And you're not differentiating between if you could injure him or kill him. You're always allowed to kill him. So then there's the halacha kilnei b'drab, and the person should never have to pay for the dmei v'lodis. Yet the Torah says that if the lo yia asan, he does have to. Obviously, you see the halacha b'rin simin shal, that there are situations where he would have to pay, even though he's trying to kill, and still you can't kill him, so he didn't have a chiv misa. How so? Because you could have stopped him with one of his limbs and not killing his whole body, then actually you're not allowed to kill him. Now, on that the Gemara asks, what's the proof? Dilma shani hachi, maybe over here it's different. The reason why the perpetrator has to pay for the dmei v'lodis is although that, yes, there was an element of death over here that he could have been killed, maybe not like Rabbi Yonatan ben Shaul, in all situations, even if the yochel atzil b'echem evav, you're still allowed to kill him. But here it's different because demisa lazeh v'tashlumin lazeh. Because here, the death and the monetary payment are not coming through one person. His, quote, death sentence, where he could be killed now as a pursuer to kill someone, is coming because of his friend that he's fighting with. Now, the actual monetary payment is actually because of the husband of that woman, who is a different person. So that's why he's not exempt from this monetary payment, because the death penalty is a liability for somebody else, and the monetary payment is for someone else. So that's why it's not like the same thing. Just like we say that, we said in the previous stuff, if there are different times when someone's committing a crime in the period of an hour, although it's one long act, but if it's a different periods, the death penalty is not going to be neutralized by the monetary payment. So here also, since it's the death penalty because of what he's fighting with his friend, and he ends up by mistake injuring the woman, who's a different person, he has to pay to that woman's husband for the miscarried fetuses, maybe that's why he's chayiv. But not because the halacha is that you could find is yochel tzil mechem evav. No, maybe you're allowed to kill him. But how is he misa mishalim? Very simple, the misa is because of one person, and the mishalim is because of a different person. So what Shigma answers, Loishna. No, there actually is no difference. In other words, your question is not valid. It is approved to Rabbi Mishal, because there's no differentiation between that, if it's at least if it's happening through the same act at the same time, even though that the misa is because of one person and the tashlum is because of another person, we don't differentiate. It would still be kimle b'drabine. And therefore, the fact that we say that the person, the perpetrator, could have to pay that, obviously, is because must be told on a case of Yachal Atzila Bechem Evav, where then you're not allowed to kill him, and he doesn't have, quote, does not have then yet a, quote, a death sentence on him, and that's why he has to pay. Because the Amar Rabbah, Rabbah says the following halacha. Says, Raidif, Shay Raidif Acha Chaverif. There was a pursuer who was running after his friend to kill him. Now, on his way, running to kill that person, Vishibra Sakalim, he breaks some utensils. Says Rava, Bain Shel Nidrif, whether if he ended up ruining the clothing or the tools of the one he's pursuing, or Bain Shel Koladim, or whether, who knows who is, he's running through someone's house and breaks all the person's things, Patri is exempt. My time, what's the reason? Mischayev Benafshihu, because he's then liable to be killed by anyone right then as a pursuer, anyone could kill him. And therefore, if at this point there's a death sentence on him, there's no difference regarding the liability of the monetary payment, whether if the death is coming because of that person that he's ruined that person's money, whether it's because of someone else, either way, and this is what the Gemara is proving from Rava, that there's no difference here, he's trying to kill one person, yet the monetary payment is because he's breaking someone else's things, either way, he's a dead man, there's that death sentence is the greatest one that's on him right now, he's not going to have any monetary liability, and therefore again, if the Pasuk is saying that if there's no us, and he's Yonish, you're going to have to pay for the monetary payment of the fetuses, how is that possible? But when he was coming to commit that crime, as we proved in the other pasuk, he's trying to kill, and yet still, he's not going to, that must be that, it's like Rabbi Yosef Ben Shaul says, you cannot kill him, and that's why, since there's no death sentence, that's why he's going to have to pay for the teshlumen, because we don't differentiate that it's misal azeh v'teshlumen azeh. How so? Must have been because b'yachal atzila me'echad me'var. Now the Gemara continues with this teaching of Rava, regarding if someone is pursuing someone else, and in that scuffle, stuff break. So he said that regarding the Raidif, he's always Pater. The Nirdaf, regarding the one who's being pursued, he's running for his life, someone's trying to kill him. Sheshibra Esaikalim Shal Raidif, if he breaks the garments or the tools of the pursuer, Pater is exempt. Shall call Odom Chayiv, but if he breaks someone else's things, he's throwing stuff, breaking to try to get away from someone else, then he's going to be liable, as the Gemara explains. Shal Raidif Pater, if he breaks the pursuer's own things, he's exempt. Why? That person's money should not be any more precious than that guy's body. Meaning he's allowed to kill the pursuer, for sure he's allowed to go ahead and ruin his money to save himself from that pursuer. But shall call adam chayv, but if it's anyone else's things, he's going to be liable. Shematzel atzmen b'mam chaver, because he's saving his life with someone else's money. That he's not allowed to, and therefore even if he does, and even if that would be permitted, there's still going to be a monetary obligation to compensate that person, because ultimately it's someone else's things. Now continues Rava with a third person. V'raydif shayir, raydif achar. Now if there was someone pursuing, who is pursuing after, which is that, after the friend who is trying to kill this individual, where raydif lahatziloi, this guy was running after to save this person. So there was someone pursuing, Reuben pursuing Shimon, and now Levi is pursuing Reuven, who is trying to kill Shimon. And v'shibra sekelim, and in the process, this guy who's the Hatzalah person, who's trying to save, breaks stuff. Bein shel roidif, bein shel nirdif. Whether it's the pursuer's things he breaks, whether it's the one who's being pursued that he breaks. Bein shel kaladim, whether anyone else's stuff that he breaks, Patre is exempt. Now, says the Gemara, v'limna din. This is not based on the actual law, because based on law, if one is not allowed to break someone else's things, and even if he is, but there's still going to be a payment, like we see by when he's matlas mebamam chaver. Rather, it's she'im iyato emekin. If you don't say that, then if you don't exempt the one who's trying to save from monetary obligations, nimtze in l'cho kolodim shematzlos chavim. You're right. If no one's going to want to save anyone from a pursuer, you say, I'm going to get then persecuted, I'm going to get executed, I'm going to get liable for things. Forget about it. But if we say that the person who's trying to save is exempt, then people will come and try to save the person. Therefore, we say that under all circumstances, the individual is going to be exempt. I think Mark continues with the aloha of our mission in the previous staff. We said, so there are certain situations you're allowed to kill the pursuer, you're allowed to kill the one who's trying to rape the Naim Marasa. There are certain situations that you can kill the one who's trying to commit a sin. But, said the Mishnah, there are certain situations when you're not allowed to. Avla Reidav Acha Behem, if someone's running after sodomize an animal, or as the town of our Mishnah held, to do Avodah Zarah or be Mechallel Shabbos, you're not allowed to go ahead and kill that person to stop him from committing that sin. Now, however, Tanya Linda Bryce says it's actually Machlekes. Shimon ben Yechai Omer, he says, Ha'evad avodas kacham, if someone's going to serve idol worship, nitin latzil benafsha, you could save him, save his soul, by killing himself, by killing his body, by killing him to stop him from doing avodas zarah, not like the Tanna of our Mishnah. And he says, Mekabel chaim, it's based on Mekabel chaim. Because Rama pagam had yet if regarding causing a something that's a depreciation in a common man, which we said in the Mishnah, if someone's chasing after to sodomize a male or to be ma'anis and aymerasa, we said nitin latzil benafsha, you're allowed to kill the person to save that individual to stop the pagam of a hedyid. So pagam gavoy lekoshkin, so something that's going to be a slight towards Hashem. Isn't it obvious that there for sure we could stop the person from committing that sin to stop him from doing avodah zarah? To which the Gemara asks, do we punish someone, meaning to kill someone, based on a logic of a kavo chaimer? We don't usually do that. Says the Gemara, no, kasava einchem nadin. Rabbi Shimon Bechai holds that we do punish based on logic, which is if something light, like a begam hedyid, which is something that is a slight to an individual, we stop and we kill the perpetrator. For sure, it's regarding Hashem. We're going to stop and kill that person and not let him do that aver. Now, Tanya Lutin Abraisa, also regarding one of the halachas of a Mishnah, Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon Eimer, the son of Rabbi Shimon Eichar Rabbi Lazar, he says, Mechal is a Shabbos, if someone's desecrating Shabbos, also not like the halachas of a Mishnah, Nitin Latzil Ben Avshay says, you could save him with his own life, you could kill a person to stop him from doing Chilul Shabbos. Says the Gemara, because Sabal Kavu, he holds like his father regarding the previous halacha we just said of Avodah Zarah. The Amar Inshim Adin, who says that we do punish based on logic, and if we kill someone to stop him from doing Avodah Zarah. And then he learns Va'as Yishabbos, then he then and extrapolates that to Shabbos, Bechil Chil Mavodah Zkachav from a Hekesh, from a Gzer Shava, of the word desecration from Avodah Zarah. Because by Shabbos it says in Shmois Laman Alav Mechal Mois Yumas, whoever desecrates Shabbos will surely die. It says the word Achil. And it says regarding Avodah Zarah, Mizarach Leisit and Lahavel Amelech Beleisachalim, and Yikur Yitches, it says both Mechil, just like over there you could kill the person and stop him from doing Avodah Zarah, so too regarding Halachas of Shabbos. Now, continuing on this Halacha, Amr B'yichat Mishim Mishim Niyad Tzadok, he says, which we said regarding Avodah Zarah, which is the person to be killed before he goes ahead and does Avodah Zarah, so that's regarding someone else killing him. Now the Gemara goes and segues into a person's own responsibility regarding having himself killed and not committing Avodah Zarah. So Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Shimon ben Yitzadok, that Nimnu Bagamru, they counted and they concluded Balias Beis Nitzah in the upper story of the house of Nitzah, which is the name of a person, Belud, which was in Lud in Eretz Yisrael, that Kol Aveir Shabbat Torah, regarding all the sins of the Torah, Im Eim La'odam Avor Va'al Taharik, if they tell a person, violate this sin and then you won't be killed. So the halach is Yav Val Yarek, he should violate the sin and not get killed, because the Torah said, V'chai behem, the mitzvahs are given for you to live by them and not to die by them. Chutz, except for three averes known as the three cardinal sins, Me'avodas Kechavim, idol worship, which Gemara Leinu is going to learn where do we know these exceptions from, V'gila Rais, and illicit relations, and V'shvichas Damim, and murder. Says the Gemara, V'avodas Kechavim, lo, is that really so, that regarding idol worship, the halach is that you don't violate and instead you get killed? But Vaitanit Linda Braisa, that Omer B'Shmol, Rabbi Shmol says, Menayishim Omer Leilu Adam, from where do we know that if they tell a person, Avoid Avoidis Kechavim Al Taharig, commit idol worship and don't get killed, Menayin Sheyavid Val Yarig, from where do we know that he should do Avoidis Zar and not get killed? Tamalim, that's the Pasuk Tisha Meyikra, it says, V'chai Behem, that these are the mitzvahs that were given to you that you should live by them, V'loi Sheyamas Behem, and not to die by them. Now continues the Braisa, you would think that this would apply even if it's out in public, which later on the Gemara is going to explain what is the categorization of public. Tamalama, that's a positive teaching of Yikra that no. V'loy sechalu Hashem kadshi, you should not desecrate my holy name. V'nikdashti, and I should be sanctified. Which is because in public, then these are what's known as a chil Hashem, a desecration of Hashem's name, and you have to sanctify Hashem's name. And that's what the pasuk ends, V'nikdashti, I will be sanctified, meaning when the person will give up his life for the love of his Creator, then that will prove the sanctification. So in public, not do avodah zarah, but in private, we see you should commit and not get killed, which contradicts what we said from the Nimnu Bagamru, Be'aliyas Beis Nitzah. So explains the Gemara, you're right, it's a machlekes. Inu da'amak Rebbe Lazar, those which were quoted before that they counted and they concluded that those three averes, one does not commit and instead should get killed, including avodah zarah, disagrees with Rabbi Shmuel in this Braisa, who says that no, even avodah zarah, commit and don't get killed. Because they're going like Rabbi Lazar, telling like Linda Braisa, Rabbi Lazar, I mean, he says in the Pasuk in Devarim, And it says, "V'ahavtas Hashem l'kechu," you should love Hashem your God, which sounds like you should love Hashem your God and don't swap him, chas v'shalom, with avodah zarah. Now, what's the obligation of not doing avodah zarah, to only love Hashem your God? It's b'chol levavcha, with all your heart, b'chol nafshecha, with all your soul, b'chol meidecha, with all your resources. Now, asks Rebbe Elazar, im neimer b'chol nafshecha, if already said with all your heart, with all your soul, your whole life, lama neimer b'chol meidecha, why say with all your money, with all your resources? And if it says with all your resources, lama neimer b'chol nafshecha, why say with all your life? It's basically saying everything. Why pick nafshecha em meidecha? So that explains, because if you have a person that his body is more precious to him than his money, that's what it says with all your soul, meaning even your most precious commodity, which is your body, you have to give that up. You have to let yourself be killed and not commit avodah zarah, which is that halacha of Rebbe Elazar that we're showing that he holds yaharik val yava. And if there is a person that his money is actually more precious to him than his body, which people do that, they'll give up their health for their money. That's what it says with all your resources. In other words, that the love that one has for Hashem should be most precious, more than the most precious thing that you have, whether it be money or whether it be your life. So again, that's the source that one should get killed and not commit avodah zarah. Now, regarding the other two, gila rais v'shvichas dam, regarding illicit relations and regarding murder, how do we know that there also halacha is that one has to allow himself to get killed and not violate that sin? Can the Rebbe, like we learned by Rebbe, because the time we learned the rais Rebbe, he says. The pasuk says in Devarim, in Chav Beis Chav Vav, in the parasha of Naim Arasa, it says that to the girl you shouldn't do anything. The girl didn't do anything wrong that she should be deserving of death because a man had violated her. It wasn't that she just didn't have anyone to help her, but she didn't do it willingly. And the pasuk concludes, Ki kasher yakum Israel re'ei, because just like when a person will stand up on his friend or tzachin nefesh and murder, kein adav esu to this thing. Now, says Rebbe, what exactly are we learning from the case of murder? How does that reflect anything? What is the case of when someone violates an Amirasa? Do we learn from someone committing an act of murder? What is that teaching us regarding the exemption of the girl, which is because of Aynis, because she was forced? What do we see from a case of murder? Rather, says Rebbe, Me'ata, Harizabol Alamed, what it actually turns out to be, is that the pasuk makes it sound like as if the murderer is coming to teach something regarding Naim Arasa, but actually turns out that actually murder is learning from the halach of Naim Arasa. Because Makesh Ritzech le Naim Arasa, where the Pasuk is equating, comparing, case of murder, to the girl that was engaged, who is violated, which is, Ma Naim Arasa, just like the engaged girl, Nitin Latzila Benavshay, we know that, as the Pasuk tells us, because Ve'im Ashila is no one to help us, but we said that if there's someone to help her, that they have to even kill the person who's trying to rape this girl, which is that you could save this person from committing this aver with his own life. Afritzech, that's what the Pasuk is comparing. So to a murderer, Nitin Latzila Benavshay, you could save the person's own life with killing him before allowing him to commit that act. Now, that's one way. Now, the Hekesh also works the other way. We also make a comparison of Naim Arasa to the murder. Just like by murder, that if they tell the person, look, I want you to kill this person, and if not, I'm going to kill you. Yehorik v'al-yava, the person has to allow himself to be killed and not commit the sin of murder. Af Naim Arasa teaches us regarding the case of illicit relations, which is what this halach of Naim Arasa is. Teharik v'al-taver, the person has to allow himself to be killed and not violate Gile Arayis. So that's where we learn out these two halachas of Yaharik Valyaver, both of Ritzeach and of Ritzeach, as the Gemara is going to ask right now, how do we know that from? And Naim Arasa, which is Gile Arayis, we know from Ritzeach. So as the Gemara, Ritzeach Guf Minolan, where do we know regarding murder that one has to allow himself to be killed and not commit murder, which is, that's where we know Naim Arasa, Gile Arayis from? So as the Gemara, Svaru, that's actually, we know from logic, where that we should not allow someone to kill someone else, where there's two negatives over there. One is when someone kills someone else, there's a loss of a life, and a sin of murder. And why would he be allowed to do that? To save his own life. Where there's only one negative, which is if he doesn't commit the act of murder, he himself is going to get killed. But better that he does not violate that, because when the Torah tells you that you could violate mitzvahs, what's the whole reason why a person is allowed to violate a mitzvah? One is not allowed to do any aveira. It's only because the Torah tells you v'chaybem, that you should live by them. Because it's so precious in the eyes of Hashem, a soul of a Jewish person, that he allows them to commit any sin. Now, but here regarding murder, since ultimately at the end of the day, anyway, there's going to be a loss of a Jewish life, so why would it be permitted for someone to violate that? Who knows if his own soul is more precious to his creator more than the soul of his friend? And therefore, rather not violate the aver of Hashem, which is the defining variable over here, because either way, there's going to be a loss of life. So at least don't let yourself be killed, which is not violating avera, than to violate avera and to have a loss of life anyway. As the Gemara says, so therefore that's logic. There was a certain individual came in from the Rabbah and said to him, Amali Mari Durai, the master of my city, the governor, who was a non-Jew, said to me, Zil Katlu Laplanya, go ahead and kill that person. V'iloin, if not, Katlin Lach, I'm going to kill you. So Amalei, so Rabbah said to him, Liktalach, to let him kill you. V'loi Tiktal, and don't murder that person. Miyamer, who said the Dama de Dach Sumik Tve, that your blood is more red. In other words, who says, who knows that your blood is more precious and beautiful to your creator more than the blood of your friend? Dima Dama Dahugavar Sumik Tve. Maybe the blood of that person is more red. And therefore you can't say over here in this situation, Fachai Behem, that what do you mean? I have to survive. The aver of murder says that I shouldn't die through it, because the Torah only permits you to commit the sin because of how precious a soul of a Jewish person is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here anyway, a soul is going to be lost out of its friend, so it doesn't allow us an opportunity to reject the commandment of the king of Hashem, which is, he commanded that one should not commit an act of murder. It's only when to save a life, but here anyway, life is going to be lost, and who said your life is more precious than that person? No matter how great as a person you are, we don't know how precious is a person, no matter how low that person seems to be. And therefore, in that situation, you cannot kill that person. Therefore, you harg v'yaver. And that's what we know in the Hekesh of Naim HaRasa, that they're also, but regarding Gilai Arayis, it's also Yaharg v'yaver. And the Bidazar, we learned that from V'yahavta Shemekecha, Bechol Nafshecha. Now, however, the Gemara qualifies this halacha that we said, that one is allowed to violate any avera to save his life, besides the Gimel Averis Chamuras. Ki Asr Rav Dima, and Rav Dima came on Rav Yechon, and he qualified, he says, Leishonu, we didn't learn this. Only if it's not at a time of a decree from the government, like a time of Shmad, when they want the Jewish people to violate, they want them to stop keeping their Torah. But if it's at a time when there is the decree of the king to say that no Jew is allowed to practice Judaism to keep the Torah, then even a light, small mitzvah, the halacha is one has to allow himself to be killed and not violated. And the reason for that is that the non-Jews should not get used to crushing the spirit of the Jewish people by having them stop doing the Torah. That the halacha is, no matter how small it is, then the Jew has to stand on this principle and not allow himself to violate the halacha, no matter how small it is. Moreover, Kiyasar Rav and Amr Biyechan, and he says, Afilu Shalei B'Shas Kizeis Malchus. He says, even if it's not at a time of Shmat, even if the government has not decreed that Jews should not keep Torah, like Amr, we didn't say that a person could violate an aver to save his life except for those three sins, ela bitzina, only if it's in private. Ala bifahesir, but if it's in public, afil a mitzah kala, even if it's a small mitzah, yiharg valyav, a person has to allow himself to be killed and not violated. Ask the Gemara, my mitzvah kala, what do we mean when we say a small, light mitzvah? So Amr Rav Barav Yitzchok, Amr Rav, he says, as we continue to Tamid Beis, afil lishnuye arkas of the mesana, even to change his shoelace. Which is, if the custom was that the non-Jews would tie it a certain way and the Jews would do it a different way, for example, if there was some element of Judaism related to it because the Jews who were more modest, even for this swap, which is not of a mitzvah, it's just some type of a custom, a person should sanctify Hashem in front of his fellow Jews. And when we say in public, we mean in an element regarding when there's Jews around. Even something as small as a small Jewish custom, a person has to be yahag v'yav, allow himself to be killed and not violate if it's in public. Says Gemara v'kama parhesia, and how much is in public? So Amir Yaakov Amir Yechon, it says, in parhesia, pechusim asar b'nei adam. In public is not less than 10 people. So the Gemara says, pshita yisraelim b'inan. It's obvious when we say 10 people, we mean 10 Jews. Because the pasuk says in Yikra, "V'nikdashti b'seich b'nei Yisrael," that I will sanctify myself amongst the Jewish people, which is the halach of kiddush shem shemayim, that there shouldn't be a chil Hashem, which is a person has to give up his life, is amongst the Jewish people. That's the primary kiddush Hashem, which a person has to give up his life, is by Jewish people. Now, and we said that that's 10 people, 10 Jewish people. But Boyer Birmi had the following question: what's if Tishi Yisrael v'nachri echad ma'ofts, if 9 Jewish people and 1 non-Jew? Many times we say that 9 is like 10, and there is 10, there's just a non-Jew. What would we say over there? It says, Toshma, because the Tanya of Yana Achud, Reb Chiya Bar Abba, he says, Asya Toich Toich, we could learn a Gezerah Shavah from the word Toich, which means in the midst, where we could learn that you need to have 10 and all of them have to be Jewish. Because Ksivach, it says over in the pasuk we brought before, Meyikru B'nikdashti B'seich B'nei Yisrael, Hashem says, I will be sanctified in the midst of the Jewish people. It says Toich. Now, Ksiv Hasim says over in the pasuk of Midbar, He bodlu mitecha eid azay, separate yourself from amongst this assembly. Now, Malahal, and just like over there in that pasuk was referring to the Meraglim, the spies, and they were Asara, because although there were 12, but Yeshua and Kalev who were righteous were not counted amongst them. So there was 10, Vekul Yisrael, and all of them were Jewish. Avkan, also over here where it says, Toich Asara Vekul Yisrael, the obligation to give up one's life, when we say in public, even for a small mitzvah, even if it's not a time of Shemad, that it's Yahar Gval Yavar, has to be amongst 10 Jewish people. Now, the Gemara asks, so you said that if it's Befahesi, if it's in public, if people know about it, which is at least 10 Jews know, then one has to give up his life even for the smallest mitzvah kala that there is. On that, it's the Gemara, but for Esther, but Esther Hamalka, from the famous story of Megillus Esther with Achashverosh, Parhes Yahavir, that was in public. Everybody, the whole world knew that Esther was married and having relations with a non-Jew. And she did not give up her life to be killed. Why not? We said no matter how small the sin is, even if it's just a minig, for sure this is not less than a minig of having relations with a non-Jewish person, with King Achashverosh, and yet she was not Yahar Gval Yavar. She didn't give up her life. She went and she had that relations with him. So the Gemara gives two answers. Am Abaye, he says, Esther karka olam haisa. Esther was like a piece of land, like a piece of ground, meaning she just laid there. She didn't do anything. He did the actions with her. That's not something that requires Yahar Gval Yavar. To do an action, that one cannot go ahead and do. You want to do something to me? That's your choice. That does not require, in the situation of Fahesia, that even a mitzvah kala, that a person has to be Yahar Gval Yavar. Rav Amar, he gives a different answer. He says, Hanos Atzmet Shani. When it's for the own pleasure and benefit of the non-Jews, there it's different. Because the non-Jew's intention is not to have the Jew violate his God's, meaning Hashem's, command. He's doing it for his own personal benefit. In that situation, there's no Chil Hashem that requires a person to be killed for that. Because the non-Jew doesn't care your mitzvah. He wants this pleasure. And that was the case with Achashverosh, where he just wanted pleasure by having relations with Esther. He didn't even know she's a Jew to make her have to give up her life in the Yahar Gval Yavar. And says Rava, because if you don't say this logic that I'm saying, that when it's well known that the Jewish people are violating even the mitzvah kala, if it's befahesia, that if it's the non-Jews are doing it for their own benefit, that they don't have to give up their life, if you didn't say that, then hanikvoke v'demoinike. But then regarding these certain copper utensils that they would put coals in them, which were very tall, and they would stand on the royal tables, and they would warm themselves up opposite them. Heichi avin lehu, how do we give it to them? Because there was a certain holiday for the Persians where the attendants of the idols would take fire from every single person's house, and they would put it in the house of the idol. And the people would warm themselves opposite it. Now, they would also take from the Jewish people against their will. How do we allow, and we give it to them, and we're not meiser nefesh, we don't give up our lives saying, no, we're not going to give it to you, even if you kill us, to be mekadesh shem shemayim. But this was a statute of idol worship. So, heichi avinu, how do we give it to them? You're saying that any mitzvah kala, even a minig, when it's befehes, if everyone knows about it, which everyone knows that they're taking from the Jewish people for their holiday wishes because of the idol, and yet we give it to them. Ella rather says, Rava, since the non-Jews are only taking it, not for the purpose of making the Jews do idol worship, rather, Hanois Atzman Shani, when they're doing it for their own personal benefit, that's different. They just need that kli. In that situation, there's no Kiddush Hashem to have oneself killed because of that. Now, although the non-Jews don't need it for any other purpose, but rather for their idol, it's still called for their own personal benefit that they need the keli to put the coals in it, because they're not telling the Jew that I want you to do the idol worship. They don't care. Just, we need these tools. We need it. We need this vessel for our idol. That's considered hanos atzmai, and therefore we don't have, there's no halacha, even though it's well known, which is called befehesi, that 10 Jews know about it to be Yahar Gval Yavar. So hachanami here also by Esther, hanos atzmai shani, when it's Achashverosh was doing it for his own personal benefit, his own pleasure, that's different. And therefore, there was no obligation for Esther to be Yahar Gval Yavar, even though it was well known, befehesi. And says the Gemara, "Az the Rava l'tameh." And Rava goes according to his opinion mentioned elsewhere, because the Amar Rava, Rava said, "Akum de Amale lahai Yisrael." If a non-Jew, if idol worshiper says to a Jewish person, "Ketolas pasta," I want you to cut some herbs, some grass, some animal food from the ground for my animal, b'shabata on Shabbos, which is obviously forbidden because of kaitzer, it's one of the lamatas malachas, and v'shadi l'chibasai, I want you to feed it to my animals, v'iloy, and if not Jew, k'tilnu l'ach, I'm going to kill you. So says Rav, the halacha is liktil, so the Jew should cut the aspasta, they should cut that herbage, and b'loy liktile, and they should not allow the non-Jew to kill him. Why? Since the non-Jew's intention is not to make the Jew violate one of his lamates malachas, he's just doing it for his own personal benefit. I need some Jew workers over here. So there's no chil Hashem in that situation. But if he tells him, I want you to cut this aspasta and shadin l'nahar, I want you to throw it in the river, there the halacha is liktele v'lo liktel. Then let him kill you and don't cut it off. My time, what's the reason? Because in that situation, l'avur milsa kaboy, he wants you to violate your Torah. He knows you're a Jew, you're not a dude, I want you to do this on Shabbos. And if it's in public, or if it's a time of Gezeres HaMalchus, then the halacha is, you have to let yourself be killed and not cut the aspasta, because he's not doing it for his own personal benefit. He's saying to throw it into the river, it's because he wants you to violate the Torah. In those situations, the halacha is, Yaharag Valyava. Now, related to this discussion, the Gemara says, Bayimene Mirabami, Ben Noach, regarding a non-Jew, Mitzvah Kedushas Hashem, is he commanded regarding this halacha, what that we're talking about, of sanctification of God's name, which is like in all these situations when it's Yaharag Valyav, we're showing that we stand for Hashem, and that His word is the highest word, and therefore we have to do certain things. Does a non-Jew also have this mitzvah of Kedush Hashem? Or is he not commanded on the sanctification of Hashem's name? In other words, a non-Jew who is commanded regarding the avoid of not doing avoid zar, like the Gemara said, if let's say someone else tells him, look, you either commit idol worship or I'm going to kill you. Does the non-Jew have a mitzvah to sanctify Hashem's name and allow himself to be killed or not? Or in that situation, he doesn't have a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, and since he's being forced, then he could do the Avodah Zarah. So Abaye says, Tashema, come and I'll prove it to you, because Sheva mitzvahs nitztava b'nei noach. We know that there are 7 commandments that a non-Jew has. The Misa, and if it would be so that he has the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, well, tam nihab, actually it would be 8, not 7. On that, Amalei Ravi says, no. In who, when we say he has 7 commandments, it means them, Mechola Bezraya, and all their ancillary, all their components, everything that applies to it. Now, Kedushas Hashem, it would apply to them too, because if someone tells the non-Jew to violate one of the 7 mitzvahs b'nei noach or get killed, and if he's not going to be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, what that essentially means to say is that he's going to violate one of them. So therefore, Kiddush Shem Shemayim is included. It's an umbrella that applies to every one of the 7 mitzvahs b'nei noach. Meaning to say, this mitzvah of, let's say, not doing avodah zara or of having din or whatever those 7 mitzvahs b'nei noach is to do it in all situations. And Kiddush Shem Shemayim is a defining characteristic of each one of those things. And therefore, maybe that would still be applicable to the non-Jew, which says that you have to always not do avodah zara, even if someone's going to come to kill you, which is that mitzvah of Kiddush Shem Shemayim. So the Gemara might have a law. So what was the conclusion? So Amar Vad Bar Ava, he said, Amri Bei Rav, they said in the Yeshiva of Rav, Ksiv, the Pasuk says in Malachim Beis, that after Naaman had accepted upon himself not to do avodah zara, he said to Elisha, he says, look, I know I'm not doing avodah zara anymore, I know that even the nations of the world can't do avodah zara, but Ladavar Hazeh Yislach Hashem Lavadecha, but for this thing, Hashem should forgive your servant, because regarding this thing I'm about to tell you, I'm compelled to, I don't have any choice. Which is Bevoya Adoni Beis Rimon L'shtach V'shama, when my master comes to Beis Rimon to bow down over there, V'hu Nishan Al Yadi V'shtach V'isa, he leans on me and I also bow down, which is to the idol. And although I know I'm not supposed to do avodah zara, but that situation I'm forced. I have no choice, because or else I would get killed. Now Ksiv, the pasuk says after that, V'yoymaloi Lech L'shalom, and Elisha told him, go in peace. Which obviously is that he agreed with him that it's okay what you're doing. Continues the Gemara on top of Ein Heim and Allah, Vim Isa. Now, if it was so that a Ben Noach was commanded on Kedushas Hashem, Loi Lei Malei, Elisha should not have told him, go in peace, which sounds like he agrees to him. Now, although he would not have had to rebuke him, because he didn't have to tell him, no, you're not allowed to do that, because that actually the mitzvah of rebuking someone, not letting him do an avera, says the pasuk in Yikra Yotzeh. The obligation to rebuke a person is only for a fellow Jew, and not for a ger teshuv, which was what he was. But to go and admit to him regarding something forbidden, that he should not be allowed to admit to him. How could he tell him lech l'sham and admit to him when, if he's commanded in Kiddush Hashem, that he's obligated to give up his life? Obviously, a ben noach is not mitzvah in Kiddush Hashem. So my answer is no, it's not, no raya. Ha, there by Naaman, was bitzina. It was in private. There was no Jew over there in base room where he was bowing down over there. And therefore, regarding the halacha of Kiddush Hashem, of sanctification of Hashem's name, was only b'sich b'nei Yisrael, was amongst the Jewish people. Ha, but even if you're going to say that the b'nei Noach are mitzvah in Kiddush Hashem, they're not commanded in sanctifying Hashem's name amongst the kutim, amongst the non-Jews. Rather, b'fahesya, only when it's amongst the Jewish people. And therefore, it's no raya. It could be that the ben noach has a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. There by Naaman, there was only non-Jews over there. Non-Jews, there's no halacha of requiring the halacha of giving up one's life of Kiddush Hashem, unless it's b'teich b'nei Yisrael, and there was no b'teich b'nei Yisrael. It could be that a ben noach would be mitzvah on Kiddush Hashem.